And now let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
All right, continuing on with Steve Saylor as we head into the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast. Winston, I want to let y'all continue on with where you were because it was getting pretty good.
One fascinating story that Obama tells is about how he visited his half-brother Mark, who was living in Kenya in the summer and in the rest of the school year getting his master's degree in physics at Stanford. And Obama and Mark went out to lunch, and Obama asked him, well, are you going to live here in Kenya? And he said, well, you know, I'm a physicist. There's not, like, a lot of jobs for physicists here. I mean, you know, Kenya's fine, but, you know, it's just another kind of poor African country. And Obama was shocked, and Mark goes, well, you know, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm just not really into all this Afrocentrism stuff, you know. I mean, the kind of things I'm interested in is, like, you know, Shakespeare and Beethoven and stuff like that, and I guess, you know, maybe an African isn't supposed to be like that, but, you know, that's just who I am. And then Obama broke off all contact for the rest of his life with Mark. So I tracked down over the Internet, and I found out who Mark is. I didn't publish where he lives or anything like that because Mark is, so far at least, all the way through the campaign, basically turned down all approaches from the media. He did not make any effort to cash in on the celebrity of being the half-brother of Obama. But here's the point is, his half-brother Mark is a real post-racial man whose identity isn't determined by his race and inheritance, and Obama couldn't stand him because of that. He broke off all contact with him. Now, and yet, from 2004 through 2008, Obama runs as if he is Mark. It's one of the weirder impostures in American history. That part, like in the book, appears to be quite factual in Obama's Dreams for My Father. Other parts, there's a couple places where he and friends of his get into long discussions about race, and Obama positions himself in the book as the moderate and his friend as the real fire-breathing black radical. Various newspapers, like the Los Angeles Times, have done a especially good job of tracking down the actual people who were his friends, and they've said the opposite, that no, Obama was, you know, it was Obama who was the one who was really upset about white people and was always denouncing whites, and, you know, I was the more moderate one in our conversation. But the really interesting thing is what a fellow named, Keith Kakagawa, who's the character Ray in Obama's book, has said. Kakagawa, as you can tell by his name, is half Japanese on his father's side, and they were good friends in Hawaii. And he said, well, you know what, you know, I read the book, but, you know, Obama, Barack back then, his big problem in his life, it certainly wasn't race, it was abandonment. His father had abandoned him, his mother was several times abandoned him to his grandparents, and he just felt unloved. And, you know, I don't know where he's getting all this stuff, why he's saying I was the black radical when on occasions when he did talk about race, he was much more, much more black radical than I was. But what he was really, you know, what really bothered him all his life was being abandoned by his parents. So, I mean, basically getting elected president is kind of this, exercise in psychotherapy for Obama. And, you know, I imagine it's done a lot for, you know, filling that void in that hole in his soul, but it does raise questions about what kind of president he's going
to
be.
Steve, we got to go to break. We're going to pick it up once again on the other side right after these words from our sponsors. Steve Saylor with us tonight on the Political Cesspool, everyone. More with him right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
And people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly. I come and watch you sing and play.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show as we continue on once again with Steve Saylor, the prolific columnist and blogger for VDare.com, among other publications. And we're talking about his new book, which we wholeheartedly encourage everyone to go out and purchase and read, America's Half-Blood Prince, talking about Barack Obama. Steve, I wanted to ask you, we've covered a lot of ground so far, but I have to ask you about Obama's mother. Who is she, and how did her worldview influence Barack?
Well, her name was Stanley Ann Dunham. Stanley was a rather unfortunate name chosen by her goofball father, Stanley, who wanted a son, so stuck her with the name. She used the name all the way through school in Seattle, in the Seattle area, in high school. She was very bright. Her family was kind of moderately left-wing. They attended Unitarian Church for a while. They weren't that interested in religion. She was very left-wing. And according to Obama, she became fascinated with when she saw a movie called Black Orpheus, a Brazilian art film with dark-skinned men, ended up marrying two. Neither marriage worked out terribly well for her. Obama, who's kind of prissy about such things, is kind of freaked out about when he realizes in his early 20s about his mother's sexual attraction toward darker men. She was impregnated by his by Obama's father when she was 17 in 1960, probably about 3 or 4 weeks before she turned 18. They were married a few months later, and he was born in August of 1961. His father finished up at the University of Hawaii, where he was an exchange student from Kenya. Obama often describes him as an immigrant who believed in America and the American dream and so forth. But in truth, he was just there to get a degree, a credential, and go back to compete for power in Kenya. When Obama was two, his father graduated from the University of Hawaii and got two scholarship offers, one to a fairly prestigious college in New York City that would pay enough to bring his family along, and the other to Harvard, but that would only pay enough for him. So he said, well, I got to go to Harvard. Sorry, I'm out of here. Bye. And he was gone. Then she fell in love with a Indonesian man named Lolo, who was another exchange student. And they got married and moved to Jakarta, Indonesia. But at the time, they were separated for about a year after they got married, when he had to go back and serve in the Army. And she kind of fell out of love with her husband, her second husband, when she got to Indonesia, and she found him very irritating. And so she spent a lot of time, so it was kind of this passive-aggressive weapon against her second husband. She started, and his influence over her son, and her second husband seems like a really nice guy and a really good stepdad, too. She started exalting her first husband, Barack's biological father, and kind of indoctrinating him, a little boy, in a worldview of himself as that the most important thing you can be in life is to be a powerful politician who fights for your race, the black race. And that's the dream for my father. Those are the dreams for my father. Personal political power in the service of the black race. That's what the dreams are. And those were basically transmitted to young Barack from his mother. Now, he didn't really get along that well with his mother, as she was kind of dumping him. But then when they were around, she would constantly tell him about how wonderful his father in Kenya was. And so he always grew up believing his father was this great man. Well, eventually in the 1980s, when he's in the mid-20s, he discovers his father's an alcoholic and a bigamist and, basically a bum. A very bright bum, very arrogant and very intelligent one, but, kind of a stinker. There's nothing in his autobiography that ever says that he, reassessed these dreams from his father. The book ends with him deciding that, yes, he is black enough to be a black leader, despite, his almost totally white upbringing and being half white. So his mother played a very important role in his life, but it's not real well understood. In my book, America's Half-Blood Prince, goes through his mother's influence on him in a lot more detail than you'll find anywhere else. Okay. So other things I go over are his father's, what were these dreams that his father had transmitted to his mother. And his father was basically a typical 1960s third world leftist. There's one large article that he wrote that basically attacks the new Kenyan government's economic policies from the left on a whole variety of grounds. His father was not a real doctrinaire communist. He didn't really care about, whether the farms were collectivized or the shops were owned by the government as long as they were owned by blacks. His point of view was probably closer to like Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe. And so a lot of that got transmitted to Obama through his mother, who had listened to his brilliant father, you know, talk to her for the 2 years they were together before he took off. So that's his family background, and it's not really well understood. One of the things I keep pointing out is that his experience with the Third World was both in dictatorships that were pro-American in Indonesia, and then when he visited Kenya, and his whole family really hated the government, the fairly, you know, the crony capitalist government of Kenya under Jomo Kenyatta, because they were from the number two tribe, not Kenyatta's tribe. They're from the Luo, and they just despised the pro-American government, and they had a lot of ties to the pro-Soviet leader of their tribe, Oginga Odinga. So there's a lot in his background that you haven't been told about, and it's pretty easy to find if you read his autobiography and then do some Google searches. But basically, the mainstream media is not really interested in explaining who Obama is. All right,
go ahead, Steve. Or Winston.
Steve, Obama is a politician. First and foremost, he's a consummate political animal. And he did not write this book as some sort of catharsis. He wrote it for public relations. He wrote this to bolster his presidential aspirations. And you said earlier that he
certainly wrote his second book, The Audacity of Hope, as a presidential testing the waters campaign book. And, you know, there's a list of like 28 prominent people who read the drafts of The Audacity of Hope, his second book from 2006, and made corrections and so forth. We don't know a whole lot about the pre-publication history of Dreams from My Father in 1995. As a campaign book, it was mostly probably aimed at a very small, in slice of left-wing, mostly white activists in the Hyde Park liberal enclave in Chicago.
I was going to ask Steve a question about that since he brought it up. Why did he choose to move to Chicago and become a quote-unquote community organizer there?
Basically because, I mean, moving to Chicago to go into politics is a rather strange ambition. I lived in Chicago for 18 years in the middle of my life, and you know, it would make as much sense for me to enter Chicago, to have entered Chicago politics as to have, like, entered Serbian politics in Belgrade. I mean, it's something you're born into, and it's not a very attractive field for most people with any kind of self-respect. Obama never saw himself as a reformer. He never tried to change the rules by which, you know, Rod Blagojevich and his good buddy and Obama's good friend Tony Rezko and all these other guys thrived. He didn't want to change the rules. He of the game in Chicago. He wanted to win the game. He's an incredibly competitive man. Now, his goal from the key figure here, somebody who's kind of forgotten, is Harold Washington, the first black mayor of Chicago, who was elected in 1983 and died of a heart attack in 1987. Obama was attracted to Chicago, as he says in his book, because he saw it basically because in the mid-80s, it had the most black-white strife of any place in the United States. It was famous council wars where the white majority on the city council was blocking Washington, and Washington was vetoing the white majority, and this outright racial power struggle went on year after year.
Steve, got to really put on the brakes on it one last time. We're coming up on another one of those breaks. We're going to pick up right after this.
Someday the mountain might get up, but the law never will.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
That's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
Are Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com or call us at 800-610-2770.
If you can handle the truth, pick up a copy of Plain Truth by John T., a concise critique of contemporary American government for its refusal to acknowledge our true origins as a Western Christian nation. Plain Truth will inform and inspire readers who are eager to partake in the long and difficult process necessary to restore the American Republic. As citizens of this great republic, we can perform no more important task than realizing our duty to preserve our unique culture, heritage, and people despite a formidable foe within our own nation. Read Plain Truth and you'll discover the importance of identifying the cause, exploring the consequences, and discovering solutions to our unfortunate situation. The debate must shift toward a focus upon culture, history, and nationalism. Plain Truth by John Tate proves that racial diversity and Republican government are incompatible with one another. Plain Truth by John Tate is available through Amazon, Target, Borders, and Barnes & Noble bookstores. And now, let's return to the political cesspool.
All right, wrapping up our incredible interview with Steve Saylor tonight, the incomparable Steve Saylor. Steve, I wanted to give you the opportunity to give us some final thoughts about America's Half-Blood Prince and how people can get on your website and order the book and read your other writings, for that matter.
Hey, one of the questions we were talking about is... Why did Obama, with the whole world at his feet, choose to become a Chicago politician? I mean, talking about a political cesspool. And the reason is because of all the places he'd lived, he'd been very frustrated by the lack of racial conflict in Hawaii when he was in Los Angeles, when Tom Bradley was a very popular black mayor. He'd been to a lot of different places, and there just wasn't the kind of racial animosity, the kind of fight that there was going on in Chicago during the council wars in the 1980s. And then after Harold Washington died and Obama went to Harvard Law School, he told all his friends there that he was going back to Chicago to get elected mayor of Chicago because that was real power, and basically because, you know, to vindicate Harold Washington and become a great black leader. Now, he tried to follow Washington's career path exactly. First he got in the state legislature, and then Washington, his second step had been to the House of Representatives. So Obama, following that in the year 2000, ran in the Democratic primary for a House seat. But the problem he ran into was that the incumbent, who he thought was wounded, was an old Black Panther named Bobby Rush.
Right.
And Bobby Rush just outblacked Obama with the black majority in the district.
And Bobby Rush defeated Obama.
Yeah, you know, just crushed him, two to one, and just basically made fun of him as not black enough. And Obama was thrust into about a year-long depression, as he describes it in The Audacity of Hope. And he was just down and out. His whole life, his dreams from his father were all about becoming a black leader. And now he'd been rejected by black voters as not black enough. So after a while, at some point he noticed that he carried the white Democrats in his district pretty nicely. And after that, he started to, in the big redistricting, the gerrymandering in 2001, 2002, he redrew his district to be a lot whiter. And at that point, he decided that, well, he wasn't going to get elected to the House, or he was never going to get a lot of blacks to vote for him over other blacks. He would vote for him against whites, but not against other blacks. So he had to, like, remodel himself and his whole image and start to run as as America's half-blood prince who could unite black and white. It's in his blood. He's a product of a dynastic marriage, bringing the two races together. So that's basically where he came up with his whole new image. But he left behind his 1995 autobiography that completely contradicts the image that he and David Axelrod came up with in this decade. So it's, you know, the story is out there, and if you find it, and but it's one that the press hasn't wanted to tell because it doesn't sell. But people don't want to hear it. But you know, I think it's important that when somebody becomes a president of the United States, we pay him the respect of reading carefully and thinking about what he said about himself, which so far very few people have done. But anyway, well, I wanted to plug my book. Which,
by all means.
Yes, you can find. I mean, the simplest way is just Google I Steve. You know, the letter I in front of Steve. Don't bother trying to spell my last name, Saylor. Just say I Steve, and you'll find my website, isteve.blogspot.com, which I think is a pretty good blog. Gets a couple million visits a year, and then you can get my book from there, and I think you'll find it probably the most interesting and insightful thing that you've read about the upcoming president.
Well, anyone that's ever read your columns on VDare, I don't think would dispute that. And Steve Saylor, thank you so much, my friend, for taking the time out of your Saturday evening to be with us on the Political Cesspool tonight. And everyone, take his advice and do yourself a favor. Go to isteve.blogspot.com. As you said, that's iSteve as in iRobot. Just like that, the letter I, steve.blogspot.com. We got to spell it out here because I'm one of those OCD type of guys. But it's been absolutely enjoyable and informative, Steve, and we hope to have you on again sooner rather than later.
Well, I want to know what kind of dog that is in the background.
Big one is chasing me.
Winston always beats me to the punch. He's got the computer here, so he's already on the website. At least we practice what we preach, right, Winston?
Well, I heard the dog barking in the background. I just want to know what kind of it is.
Yeah, I'm out walking down the street here, so yes, a rather large one. Lots of teeth chasing me along there. But anyway, I wanted to thank you all so much here. This is a really outstanding program you have, and, you know, it's a place where...
Hey, Steve, we gotta go. We'll be right back.
Right.
Hey,
great.
Can you bring us up with him, Mike?
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host at the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back. Here we are again, James Edwards and Winston Smith here with you tonight in the studio as we bring you tonight's version of the Political Cesspool radio program. If you like our show, and I know you do, go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. There you can listen to the shows over and over and over again at the broadcast archive, sign up for our email list, read our blog. All of the stuff we talk about here is well-documented with corroborating links there on our blog to back up any facts we might present on this program. So do yourself a favor. After you go to Steve Saylor's blog and order John Derbyshire's book, you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. That's the homework assignment for tonight. Well, we've had three great guests tonight and had a lot of fun in the meantime. And I got a couple of stories here with you, for you, before we run out of time with you tonight, Winston. First of all, we made mention of the fact that MLK Day is coming up. It's actually celebrated as Robert E. Lee Day still in Mississippi. It's Martin Luther King Day there too, but it's also Robert E. Lee Day. Can you get this with the big holiday coming up? How are you going to be celebrating Martin Luther King Day, Winston?
What day is that? Is that
it's this week, so apparently.
I don't know what day it is. I'll probably be writing for kinism.net. I'll probably be doing anything except thinking about a communist, womanizing, plagiarist, all those things that that Martin Luther King was.
Well, it's funny that you mention all of that, all of those facts, I should say, and it's facts according to the FBI, at least, about the real Michael King. Fox News recently did a story about a website that documents the true history of Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. The actual website apparently is martinlutherking.org. I went to it, and I've been to it, and I don't see anything there that's in poor taste at all. Obviously, it shatters the myth of this saint that we've come to know as Martin Luther King Jr. But anyway, because it's a site that uses the FBI and their reports from the time to give you this other version of Martin Luther King, Fox News, of all places, this so-called fair and balanced conservative entity, they said this while they were covering a story related to MartinLutherKing.org, and it was, sadly, this is what they said during the broadcast, sadly, all speech, even unpopular speech, is protected by our Constitution. Now, this is supposed to be the voice for conservatism on television and in the mainstream. What conservative would say, sadly, all speech is protected by our Constitution, when referring to a website that tries to tell you the truth about who this guy was? And I'll read the story, and it's again has been covered from our blog. A couple days ago, the conservative Fox News Channel had a report about a website which they claim to be a hate site run by the Klan. Of course, if it's anything slightly controversial or slightly politically incorrect, and there's nothing controversial at this website, I might add, but if it's slightly politically incorrect, then it must be the Klan. Anyway, the site is martinlutherking.org, which you can check out for yourself. There's nothing that remotely qualifies as hate on the site, and it's not run by the so-called Klan. The lawyer who was on as a guest on the Fox program also said that most of the stuff on the site is not true, which is another blatant lie. But that's par for the course over at Fox, which is just as politically correct, as I'm sure all RBN listeners already know, as the rest of the networks when it comes to the stuff that really matters. But what's really amazing is that when you watch this video, and we have it at thepoliticalcesspool.org, just go to our blog, Brian Wilson is not just the host of this program, he's also the vice president of Fox News. At the two-minute mark of the video, you can watch the vice president of the news channel that conservatives love say that it's sad that the First Amendment protects unpopular speech. First, he refers to the First Amendment as a problematic thing, and then he says, sadly, all speech is protected by the Constitution. Of course, back in November, Bill O'Reilly called for the FBI to investigate and arrest a woman who made a YouTube video teaching her two-year-old to cuss Obama. I blogged about that. Lots of people claimed it was misinterpreting what he was saying. Well, maybe then he can explain how I'm misinterpreting the vice president of Fox News saying that it's sad that Constitution protects the freedom of speech. Winston, your thoughts on this? Because I think, obviously, it's timely with the big King holiday coming up on Monday.
That is an absolutely disgusting statement that man made. And I compare that, or I contrast that, with something George Orwell wrote. Orwell wrote, freedom is the right to tell people what they do not want to hear. And it makes me think, well, I should say, the lack of reaction to that statement made by that faux news vice president, the lack of reaction to that is in stark contrast to the nearly falling over that you might have heard when David Frost was interviewing Richard Nixon, and Richard Nixon made that famous statement that when the president does something, that means it is not illegal. And the country went absolutely bonkers over that one statement. And yet we see not a single gasping for breath at this one. This guy is saying that freedom of speech is a bad thing when his livelihood, his entire network, is intimately connected with freedom of speech. And what he said, James, is going to go down as one of the most notorious statements that I've ever heard. I'm going to put it in my unworthy thoughts file right next to the that famous line, that notorious line, the truth is no defense. And
that was obviously a very now infamous quote that came directly from a judge during a court case, a trial in for Nick Griffin, the chairman of the British National Party in Great Britain. He said, you know, even though this man may be telling the truth still is no defense.
Well, to give this a more Michael King Day connection, about a year ago, there was a man named Reverend Peter Johnson of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the organization founded by Martin Luther King, who said this. He said, "We've allowed white America to escape the guilt of King's assassination." And this is from a supposed minister of the gospel. The gospel has nothing to do with administering guilt. It has everything to do with freedom from guilt. And yet he utters this notorious line, "We've allowed white America to escape the guilt of King's assassination," and that is on the same level as "the truth is no defense," and those are on the same level as the sadly, some speech is or what was that he said exactly?
And I quote exactly, "Sadly, all speech, even unpopular speech, yeah, is protected by our Constitution." And, you know, a statement like that coming from the vice president of Fox News Channel should really make people value the work and the product that RBN gives you, the work of this program. I mean, we really are all that there is left on the AM and FM airwaves when it comes to true freedom of speech and open marketplace for the exchange of ideas. RBN's right there. And, you know, compare that to Fox. It's scary because so many people, so many so-called conservatives go to Fox for their daily bread. I mean, you would expect the government to say something like that, because the government for years, the American government for years has been at war with the freedom of speech and the First Amendment. Just ask Reverend Ted Pike. I mean, the latest round is going on right now. And if you haven't taken the time to call your senators and congressmen and your representatives, call them and tell them you want the latest version of the hate crimes bill to be defeated. You can read more about that at our website. It's also blogged at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But that's what I'm talking about, Winston. I mean, if that's passed, Fox News wins, the government wins, the First Amendment dies. And I tell you, we're on the precipice of it. And you see it more and more every day, the conditioning of the people to believe that some speech should be frowned upon is, I believe, beginning to catch steam. And
James,
you can just look around everywhere. I mean, over in England, they have advertisements on websites over there. And it says, and I'm reading it right now, it's a button you can click. It says "right-wing extremist," and it has a question mark. "If you suspect it, report it. Your call could be vital to us." And that is an advertisement being placed on websites in Great Britain by the London Police Department. By the London Police Department. "If you suspect your neighbor or friend of being a right-wing extremist, you need to call that into the police so they can deal with that, because they don't want to offend the Muslims over there." And that's over there. Over here, it's just as bad with what we're hearing about with Fox News. So, and it's only going to get worse if the people who listen to this program and listen to this network don't flex their muscles and go out and join us in the trenches on the front line, because that's where they need to be. They can donate to this program. They can donate to RBN. They can call and rally behind Ted Pike as he leads the charge against the hate crimes bill. But whatever you do, don't support networks like Fox and their sponsors, because they don't deserve it, to say the least.
James, you're aware that there is a push to have another constitutional convention to address the wrongs of our current Constitution. And people need to realize that First Amendment will go away if they get their second constitutional convention. And this Fox News vice president will be celebrating the day that speech that he doesn't like, speech that these other cultural Marxists don't like, will be outlawed and punishable by imprisonment.
And it doesn't matter what he was referring to with regards to, sadly, some speeches, sadly, all speech is protected by our Constitution. But keep in mind, let's go back to the beginning. I mean, it wasn't as if – it doesn't – even if it's something that I vehemently disagree with, it wouldn't matter to me. I would defend the right of the person to say it, because we have to struggle so hard to have our rights upheld with regards to our paleoconservative politics. But he was talking about a website that is attempting to set the record straight about Martin Luther King. I mean, what is so offensive about that? But I tell you, it just continues to get worse. And I'll give you another example. Now, this is a bizarre example, but since we covered the first development of this story on this program, I guess we should give you a update. You should remember the story a couple of weeks ago in New Jersey, where the parents of a kid that they named Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Hitler Campbell.
Yeah, Campbell was his last name. Adolf was his first name, and Hitler was his middle name. Now, first of all, let me just say this for the record. Any parent who would do that to their kid obviously doesn't have all their dogs barking. I mean, in today's society, I mean, that's just asking for trouble. And it's just, I mean, why would you do it? I mean, there's obviously something wrong there. But nevertheless, if we do in fact live in a free country and parents, for whatever reason, would want to name their kid Adolf Hitler, then, you know, I guess they should still have the freedom to do that. But listen to what happened there. Not only did the supermarket, which is pretty trivial, not make the birthday cake for the kid, the state came in and put him into state custody. So the state of New Jersey, for as best as we can tell, because the parents named their kid that, have seized their kid and putting it into the custody of the state. Now, it might turn out – I don't want to go too far with this because it might turn out that the guy was a child abuser or a pervert. I mean, we don't know. You never know. But if they remove them simply because, however distasteful it may be, he named his kid that, that's something is very, very wrong, because where is the line drawn? Now, I think, you know, it'd be easy to convince people that there might be a problem there. But let's say, you know, so what if the name, you know, what if you name your kid after Robert E. Lee and he gets taken away? I mean, we got to protect this family's right to name their kid Adolf Hitler if they want to name it Adolf Hitler. That's what I'm getting at in a roundabout way. I mean, because if we allow this to stand, if we allow some speech and some rights to be trampled upon, well, you know what I'm getting at, Winston.
Yes. It's a slope that is not only very slippery, but very steep.
I'm just continuing to read this story, bizarre story out of New Jersey. But the problem is, because he named it, because they named him Adolf Hitler, no one is going to say that he should be returned to his parents. And if they did it, nothing else than name him that, then they should have custody of him.
Maybe we should start putting social workers and labor and delivery wards with a list of approved names and unapproved names.
Well, you know, listen, I tell you, it's no more offensive. The name in and of itself, Adolf, is no more offensive to me than, you know, Tarniqua or anything like that that we see around all the time. But nevertheless, the people who are going to allow that to stand, because it is Adolf Hitler, you know, what are they going to do when they start taking away people that are named, I don't know, whatever? You know, and what are they going to do when Fox News and the American government really are able to start making it a crime to speak out against homosexuality or whatever the case may be? People, listen, don't be so easily seduced by political correctness.
Because I think we have a caller,
they're going to come for you, too. You need to stand up for this show. You need to stand up for RBN. We got a caller, apparently. We haven't opened up the phone lines for the first hour, 2 hours and 49 minutes, but by God, we're going to let the last 10 minutes be open. Caller, you're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How's it going?
Not too bad. How are you tonight?
I'm pretty good.
Hey, I want to just let you know before I make my comment. I see we don't have a whole lot of time here. I love this program. Unfortunately, my real job, I'm a micro broadcast operator, by the way, here, carries your programs every Saturday.
Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. Trying to get the word out. But my real job prevents me from hearing any more than about 40 minutes of the show a week, which is unfortunate for me, of course.
That's untenable.
Well, it is for right now.
Fascists.
I don't remember that name you just mentioned, but I'm waiting for somebody to be called diphenhydramine. That'll be the next one. Just something in common coming up over the next couple of days. Monday, you have a holiday for someone whose name is Michael King. And then Tuesday, we're going to be swearing in Barry Sortoro.
You know, and that's another thing that even we forget to mention all too often. That is, in fact, Obama's real name. Just as kings name it his real name, neither is that of Barack Hussein Obama. I guess there's some sort of a symbolism there, guys. Or, you know, I guess that's – what is that, Winston? What's the literary term for that?
When they swear him in, they need to go down the whole list of names that he has, or they could just call him Barry, also known as this, also known as that, also known as this.
That way they'll get the right one sworn in.
Yeah, that's right. Do you, Barack Hussein Obama Jr. – oh, was I not supposed to say Hussein? Oh, wait a minute.
Right.
Oh, it's just a – this is an unbelievable charade foisted on the American public.
Hey, sit tight. I don't want to lose you. We're going to come back and wrap up the show. Just sit tight. We've got to go to commercial break. We're going to be back to conclude tonight's show right after this.
There's plenty more political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
In these hard economic times, being prepared is the most important thing you can do. To everyone in the Fredericksburg and Austin, Texas areas, it's your time to get prepared. Come and hear the Freeze Dry Guy give a spirited presentation on your family preparedness and emergency food storage needs for the uncertain times ahead. There will be plenty of good information, lots of samples, and sharing of information in a relaxed atmosphere. The first presentation will be in Fredericksburg, Texas, on Friday, January 16th at 6 p.m. at the AG Building at 95 Frederick Road. The second and third presentation will be in Austin, Texas, on Saturday and Sunday, January 17th and 18th at 2 p.m. at Brave New Books at 1904 Guadalupe Street. These are no-charge presentations. Come early, though, to ensure good seating. For more information, visit www.freezedryguy.com or call 530-265-8333. Bring a friend and enjoy these free Freeze Dry Guy preparedness presentations. The Freeze Dry Guy looks forward to meeting you.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
At the time of death, loved ones are forced to make many important and difficult decisions. Planning together allows families to avoid difficult decisions in the future and gives you peace of mind now. Autumn Woods Memorial Park is a new perpetual care cemetery located 1 mile south of Goodman Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Autumn Woods is the largest cemetery in DeSoto County and serves the entire DeSoto County, Memphis metropolitan area. Autumn Woods Memorial Park allows for a dignified and peaceful final resting place. Autumn Woods Memorial Park is locally owned and operated. The staff is committed to providing the best possible service at the most affordable price. Autumn Woods Memorial Park now has side-by-side lots starting at $600. Come by and visit our beautiful property, conveniently located at 6240 Davison Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi, or call us at 901-521-9520. You can also find us online at www.autumnwoodsmemorialpark.com. And now, let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
What a great show we've had tonight. Only a couple of minutes remaining to wrap it all up. Hope you've enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed bringing it to you. And I want to thank Jim from Buffalo for calling in tonight. You still there, Jim? Jim apparently is gone, but thanks for the compliment, Jim. You know, Winston, everybody that calls into this show.
I'm here.
Oh, you are there, Jim. I was just going to say, everybody that seems to call into this show appreciates our work, and we appreciate you for appreciating us. And if you don't mind, give out that frequency that people can listen to us on up in Buffalo.
All right. We're in a northern suburb called Tonawanda. It's AM 1650. We're called Micro 1650 AM. And we're on the web, and we're improving our facilities and our website when we can. We're going to be able to stream live pretty soon, so we'll be... We'll be on the web 24/7 as well as over the air 24/7.
Well, I really appreciate what y'all are doing and doing that. I wish everyone was taking that sort of initiative. And if there's ever anything we can do to help you, we will. And thank you for carrying our show all the way up there in cold Buffalo, New York.
Yes, I'm going to go warm up now. And you guys have a nice night.
You do. Thanks again, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, bye-bye.
Great callers here on RBN. And, you know, it seems as though we're being added by more stations every day, Winston, including those we don't know about. And we really appreciate the people up in Buffalo for listening to us. But, you know, as we continue to get feedback and this show continues to catch on, I was talking with one of the staffers at RBN today, and we were just kind of talking about the show. And this show really articulates that which everyone, or well, every rational thinking person is talking about behind the closed door of their homes. And we're proud that we can give normal, common sense thinking Americans a voice on the AM airwaves. We're it, and we're on the network that's it, and we're going to continue
those people have to say those things behind the closed door of their homes, because it'll make the Fox News VP sad if they hear it.
That's right. Whatever you do, don't go to martinlutherking.org, that's for sure, or the politicalcesspool.org for that matter. But that being said, great show tonight, I think, if I do say so myself. John Derbyshire, Ashley Russell, Steve Saylor, a couple of quirky stories, and there you have 3 hours of solid talk radio. And we'll be back to do it all over again next Saturday night, ladies and gentlemen, as always, from 9 p.m. to midnight Central Time here on Republic Broadcasting and AM 1380 here in Memphis, our flagship, The Political Cesspool. .org is our website. Go check us out. Join the email list. Send us an email with questions or comments. And Winston might even reply to you if you're lucky. Winston loves to write. We got to give him something to write.
I answered some good emails this past week.
You always do. And thanks for being with me tonight, Winston. Look forward to working with you and Bill.
It's been a real pleasure.
Everybody associated
with
the
show. And it's been a pleasure working with the producer there at RBN.
Hey, they got a good team here. We're about out of time tonight, but for the entire staff of the Political Cesspool Radio program, our production team and website crew that you don't get to hear from on the air, and, of course, the entire hosting staff, I'm James Edwards, and we'll see you next week. Remember to live life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apology. Good night, and God bless you.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to help keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
My name is Jeff Lawrence.